Okay. Brothers and sisters, how you doing? Okay, let's open a word of prayer. Lord God, we come before you. Dear Jesus, I ask that hearts break open and are completely receptive to your word, to the washing of the water of the word, and the oil of the Spirit. We ask that you, Holy Spirit, fill me and guide me through the word that you've provided, and ask that hearts be touched here tonight. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Let you be glorified, exalted in this place today. In your precious name, amen. All right, let's see. Let's turn to Genesis 22. And okay. First, let's look at the name of Jesus for a minute. Jesus in the Hebrew is Yeshua. Jesus, or just as Yahweh is God's personal name revealed in the Old Testament, Jesus is the personal name of the one we call Redeemer, Lord, and Christ. His name is intimately linked to the scriptures of the Old Covenant because it means Yahweh is salvation. Jesus is God bending toward us. Jesus is God becoming one of us, yet sinless. Jesus is God reaching out in mercy. Jesus is God humbling himself. Jesus is God nailed to a cross. And Jesus is God raising up from the grave to show us the way home. In Genesis 22, 1 through 12, I'll read that. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they went to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar where the place and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Okay, this portion of Scripture has a lot of imagery in it. So we'll look at key words throughout, and First, we see that God tested Abraham here. God tests. He never tempts. First, testing is to see where you are in your walk. Growing in faith involves testing. And you have to exercise. We're going to notice testing as well as faith here. Okay, you have to exercise faith for faith to increase. Okay, faith, I believe, is a combination of two words. Faith is a combination of both belief and trust. So, I'm going to give you an example. I was talking to a man at my work that I work with, and he was telling me about how he would go scuba diving. And he went down to Mexico, and he was telling me, and I probably shouldn't do this when I have a conversation. I do certain things when I have a conversation with a person. I'll see. I'm doing it in my head. I don't know. It's probably rude that I do this, but when they're talking to me, I'll think in my mind, you know, how and in what way are the words that they're speaking to me, can I associate that with the Word of God? So I'll kind of do that in my head. But anyway, he was telling me about how he would go scuba diving, and you would have to, what you could do is you could set the buoyancy of the tank, and he was telling me about this crevice that you could step out off of, and there was nothing but darkness underneath. So what I'm talking about here is a step of faith. You trusting that tank will keep you buoyant and believing that the tank is going to function or work. But it takes that first step of faith for you to stay buoyant, and you would be looking down on on blackness, a black abyss. So, but it takes faith and trust in something. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. It's the same way with Jesus. How do you love someone you've never seen? And someone you've never even met face to face? You know? It's through faith. Faith is the only way. And verse 2 says that he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. And you can't help but think of John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And also in verse 2, to continue on, and go to the land of Moriah, God says, and offer him there as a burnt offering for on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. Also in John 3:36, it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. We see two things here. We see not only the love of God, but we also see the wrath of God. We also see here the law of first mention. We see the first mention of love, and we also see the first mention of Mount Moriah, a hill outside which is now the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. A hill with the name, which is derived, from the Latin Calvaria, which we get the name Calvary, which means the skull or the place of the skull. First mention principle is a key which unlocks the door into the full truth of the Word. It's a guide to discovering the truth as it unfolds. It's a seed which has within it the full truth that is developed in the rest of the mentions throughout Scripture. Here, the key, the guide, and the seed is the love between a father and his son. Here, Abraham symbolizes God the Father, and Isaac symbolizes God the Son. The Father is the lover, and the Son is the one who is loved. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love in the Hebrew is aheb, and in the Greek it is agape, meaning a strong emotional attachment or the expression of the essential nature of God. In 1 John, we see that he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's part of his very nature. It also means a sacrificial love. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay his life down for his friends. That's sacrifice. And who is Jesus a friend of? He's a friend of sinners. And who are sinners? That's everyone. Now let's go to verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. In this passage, the fire symbolizes judgment, the knife symbolizes sacrifice, and the burnt offering is a symbol of voluntary sacrifice or a free will offering. Just as Isaac was bound and obedient, Jesus was bound and obedient by the wood that was placed on his back. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. John 19:17, and he, bearing his cross, went out to the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. If God were not just, there would be no need for his son to die. And if God were not loving, there would be no willingness for his son to suffer and die. But God is both just and willing, or just and loving, therefore his love is willing to meet the demands of his justice. There is a word we often hear when we're in indescribable pain, the word excruciating. It's from the Latin meaning out of the cross. The cross speaks of the deepest hurts of the human heart. There are four longings of the human heart. The hunger for truth, as the lies of the world surround us. The hunger for love, as we see fear and hate ruling this age. The hunger for justice, as we see injustice mocking the law. And the hunger for forgiveness, when we ourselves fail and stumble. These four hungers grip the soul. And there's only one place where these four hungers converge, and that's at the cross. Verse 10, which says, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And he was stopped by an angel after that. But there's a place in Scripture where the knife didn't stop. John 19:30 says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. In verse 34, it says that, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with the spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Here, the knife didn't stop, and the heart of God was pierced. But it doesn't end here. In John 20, 4 through 7, it says, "So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooped down and looked in and saw the linen clothes lying there. Yet he didn't go in. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself." The resurrection is the triumphant and glorious victory for every believer. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 15, preaching Christ would be senseless in verse 14. Faith in Christ would be useless in verse 14 if we didn't have the resurrection. All the witnesses and preachers of the resurrection would be liars, verse 15. No one would be redeemed for sin in verse 17. All former believers would have perished, verse 18. Christians would be the most pitiable people on the earth, verse 19. But Christ indeed has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, verse 20, assuring that we will all follow him in resurrection. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that we could be here to glorify you and exalt you and you alone, because without you, we would be completely lost, but we aren't, because we walk in victory and in victory alone because you were victorious first. We love you. We praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.